delicious, Rita. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2 says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts." I love that. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, my looky here, look at you, hanging out with me on a Thursday, the September the 10th. 2015. Come on, pull up a chair to the table of fellowship and let me welcome you to today's edition of Mark and Friends. My name is Joey Kroll. Let me tip my hat off to you and say it's so good spending some time with you. And this week seems like it's a flying by. Of course, Monday was Labor Day. And then I took Tuesday off of work, so I had a 4-day weekend. So I don't even know what day it is. that's what it feels like. So I'm a little off-kiltered. I know the garbage man will come a day later because of the holidays. So I'm all over the place. So hey, I pray that you're blessed today and pray you have an opportunity, as the psalmist says, to give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His name and make known what He has done. And we serve a God who does some wonderful things. Amen. He really, really does. Well, of course, it's September the 10th, 2015. Tomorrow marks the 14-year anniversary of September 11th, just the day of tragedy. And I know for many of us, it seemed like it was just yesterday. We remember some of the images that are so vivid in our mind that we've seen live on TV or what we remember. So I just say all that to just continue to pray for the families affected by this. I mean, you really think about little kids growing up without a parent. A little girl won't have her daddy to walk her down the aisle. A little boy won't have his mother put a Band-Aid on his boo-boo and kiss it to make it feel better. So I just say all of that just to continue to pray for the families, even after 14 years later. Amen. Well, if you are like me and love saving money, my wife calls me cheap. I call myself being frugal. There's a big difference between the two. There really is. Coming up next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week, Savoy United Methodist Church will be hosting a multi-church garage sale to benefit local missions. Again, it's going to be hosted at the Savoy United Methodist Church, 3002 West Old Church Road on the corner of Duncan and Old Church Road in Champaign. For more details, I encourage you to take a look at our event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. Also, while you're there, be sure to sign up for our 2020 challenge. That's right, we're heading into our 20th year of broadcasting here at Great News Radio. We're looking for some friends to join us and support us with a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months. As you know, we are listener supported. We don't receive annual or monthly checks from the government, or we don't have commercials. We're commercial-free, listener-supported, trusting the Lord type of radio station. That's what we are. So can you graciously and prayerfully consider and joining us in the 2020 challenge? You can give a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months, or you can just write a check for $400 or give online at our website, greatnewsradio.org. You can also sign up for the 2020 challenge right there on our homepage. Just click on the banner. Or if you just prefer to do it with a real-life person, just call Karen. She'll set you up. 217-367-7777. And your support really does help us continue to do what we do each and every day to broadcast the hope of Jesus Christ. So again, prayerfully consider joining the giving family today. 217-367-7777. Or you can give a gift online, greatnewsradio.org. Well, this month, the month of September, Dr. Charles Stanley will be celebrating a birthday. Of course, you know Dr. Stanley as the host of In Touch. He's a dynamic author. He's on the TV. He's a theologian, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Oh, by the way, he's also a pastor at First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And he's going to be celebrating a birthday later on this month. And I thought we would kind of go back in the archives today and run an interview that I did with Dr. Stanley 2 years ago. He was talking about his book, Emotions. But most importantly, in that interview, he kind of opened up, kind of gave a little bit of his testimony, kind of broke down in tears. It was a great, great interview. So let's turn back the clocks today and let's go back to 2013 with my interview with Dr. Charles Stanley. Well, we have in studio today, I'm so excited about this. I've been looking forward to it all week. One of my, actually not one, the favorite Bible teacher of mine that I, when I first became a Christian many years ago, he was the guy that I listened to when I became a Christian. Senior pastor, best-selling author, Dr. Charles Stanley. Brother, it is so good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Dr. Stanley, your new book is called Emotions, Confront the Lies, Conquer the Truth. So what are the lies that you're referring to in the book?
Well, there's some very specific lies that people tell themselves. One of them is, I can't.
Yeah.
The second is, I just don't have the ability and the skill. That's not for me. I've always been an underdog. Besides that, I just don't have the abilities and skills other people have. And God just didn't give me that ability. And, you know, when I grew up, things were tough, and I was second rate, and I've always been that way, and I just don't feel like God cares that much about me, and that he loves me, that he has a purpose and plan for my life. In fact, the truth is, I lie to myself about a lot of things, according to the scripture.
What are some of the emotions, the negative emotions, that grow out of these lies that we tell ourselves?
Well, one of them is fear.
A fear of what?
Fear of failure. Since I don't think I have the ability or capacity to do something, I'm afraid of failure. And secondly, that brings me to discouragement. If I don't think I can do it, I'm discouraged because other people do so well and I don't do very well. And so I'm discouraged about it. And I have these inferiority feelings. And I have these feelings of failure that I'm just not going to be able to make it. And I think a lot of people are self-defeatist. They defeat themselves in spite of everything that God has promised. He's promised to be with us in every circumstance and to enable us. In spite of them knowing that, reading the scriptures, somehow they just can't get over the fact that who they are and who they see themselves to be is really not the same.
Yeah, that is a great point, because I know a lot of people, Dr. Stanley, that struggle with that. So what about emotions like rejection and bitterness and guilt?
Those three are powerful, powerful emotions. The feeling of rejection, and I think you have to feel rejected by someone that's important or somebody you love to understand how a person feels. And I've talked to a lot of people down through the years who feel rejected by their parents, rejected by somebody they love, and it's self-defeating kind of attitude. When God doesn't reject us, and even though I try to explain to them that God doesn't reject you, he loves you, he made you, and so as a result, whatever he called you to do, you'll be able to accomplish it. But as long as you feel rejected and unimportant, you find yourself struggling in every area of your life.
Well, friend, we're talking about emotions today with Dr. Charles Stanley, who's in studio. So great to be spending time with you today. And we're talking about emotions today. And Dr. Stanley, let's just say you've been around the block a couple of years now, and you've been around, and in your years as a pastor, I'm sure that you've seen many people, counseled many people whose emotions were getting the best of them. Is there an example that I guess maybe you can share personally with us?
Well, I've met a lot of people through the years whose emotions got the best of them. And there are people who are unhappy. They don't have any real peace in their heart, no real joy. And no matter how good you make it for them, they can't accept it. Deep down inside, they don't deserve it. And as a result, this cloud hangs over them. And in spite of all the good things that God is doing in their life and all the things that God has promised, they can quote the scripture, they can say, yes, I believe that, but deep down inside, and over them hangs this cloud of doubt and fear and uncertainty and the possibilities of failure. The fear of failure is a powerful negative emotion.
Oh, that's so true. Is there an example from your own life when you yourself struggled with negative emotions that you couldn't figure out what the heart of it was? Can you share an example from your own life?
I'm sorry to say that I can. Yes, I can. And if somebody else had told me, I probably wouldn't have believed them. But, you know, I grew up in a church that taught you could fall from grace, one thing. And so I grew up struggling with not being accepted by God because, as you know, as a kid growing up, you're not perfect by a long shot, and as a teenager. And so deep down inside of me, there was this feeling that I had to perform in order to get God to really love me. And, you know, I was preaching, and everything I did, God blessed it, and so I couldn't point my finger at anybody. It's like, if I could just blame somebody else, or say it was this and him or her or that, but I couldn't. And this just went on for years, and I'd go to a counselor once in a while and say, look, tell me what's going on in my life. And somehow, nobody quite got to it to help me to realize that I believed God loved me, I preached that He loved me, but if you ask me personally, do you experience the love of God? And I would have to have said, well, I hope so. I think so. Now, I could tell you strongly that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And then I think, well, Lord, what about me? So this went on for quite some time. Finally, I got to the point I thought, I've got to deal with this. So I thought about three friends of mine and another fellow that I had a lot of confidence in. And I thought, I've got to find out what's going on inside of me because I can't blame this on anybody but me. But I was dissatisfied and I had all the reasons in the world to be happy, but I wasn't. So I called these four fellows and I asked them if they could meet me and where it would be convenient. So it was convenient for us to meet in Colorado. And we were all over the different parts of the country. And interesting enough, we could all meet on the following Monday, and I called them on Friday. So we met on the following Monday in one of their condos they had. And so after we got through our conversation a little bit, I said, here's what I want you to do. I'd like to tell you everything there is I know about me, and then whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do, because in every area of my life, I've always been able to find God's will. And if I ask Him about something, sooner or later, I found it. So they said, okay. So I had a legal size sheet, and I started. I started with, and when I was born, and the first thing I remembered in life was sitting up in the bed, and this bedroom had wooden walls around it, and a kerosene lamp on. I can still see that. I was so small, I don't remember anything from that for a long time, and I was crying with earache. So I was born with ache. Anyway, so I went from that to all that I could remember. Until we went to dinner. Went to dinner, came back, and we talked. I talked, and they listened till 10 o'clock. And I mean, these four guys listened to me all those hours. So I went to bed. I had a legal size sheet, and I thought, well, whatever else I can think about that I may have forgotten, I'm going to tell them. So I woke up the next morning, because I'd woke up, and then I'd go back to sleep. I had 17 pages, legal size, things that I want to be sure to say to them. So we ate breakfast when we came back together, and we'd been sitting down maybe an hour talking, and I was going over some things, and one of these fellows just out of nowhere said, Charles, he said, put your head on the table and close your eyes. So I said, okay, so I did. He said, your father.
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
Just picked you up in his arms and held you. What do you feel? And I just broke out crying. I'm still crying. But I said, I feel loved, warm, and accepted. And I broke out crying again. And we talked on for a while. And I think I realized for the first time in my life that I had never accepted God's love for me. I could tell everybody else about it, but not for me. So I went home, and I had to start thinking about that. It took me a while for that to become real in my life. But what helped me was it pinpointed for me that all these years, experiences that I'd had, and maybe difficulties and hardships and so forth, the root of it was my inability to acknowledge that God loved me. And I'll tell you, when I realized that, changed my whole attitude, changed my preaching, changed my attitude toward people. I began to recognize in other people what's going on deep down inside. And these emotions we have, when you think about it, they're uncontrollable. I mean, especially when you grow up and you're told you don't amount to anything. And my stepfather would say to me, you need to go get yourself a trade and this, that, and the other. And I can never remember him saying anything nice to me at all. And my mother loved me dearly, but I grew up in that negative attitude. And so if someone else had told me that, I probably would have defended myself because I was strong and I'd go get it. And when God told me, you just don't believe I really love you, because the people around me hadn't shown me that necessarily. And I think we don't realize the awesome impact that a parent has on their children with things they say, like, you'll never amount to anything. You'll probably end up in jail. Why don't you do this? Why don't you be like your brother, your sister? And so it changed my whole attitude about myself. It changed my attitude about other people. It changed my feelings for people, that I could feel for people that before I could not feel for. In other words, I'd say, why don't you get your act together? Well, the truth is, it took me years and years to get my own act together. So it softened me up.
Amen.
And made me much more effective. And I look back over the years and I think, Lord, and yet I realize that out of my own brokenness came one book after the other. Forgiveness and adversity and all the rest. And I realize that these emotions are powerful. And if they're right, they're highly motivating. If they're all mixed up and if they're wrong and if something is missing and twisted, they can defeat a person. And that person can go through life wondering, why is this happening to me? And oftentimes, if you blame someone else, you'll never get it straight. But you can look back and identify what contributed to it, but you have to take responsibility for it. So when you ask me my own personal experience about that, I would simply say, I learned a simple lesson that God loved me unconditionally. It's fantastic.
Yeah, amen. I appreciate you opening up in that area of your life. How did the truth of Scripture bring healing into that part of your life?
Well, I started reading the Bible differently. And the scriptures that I'd preached to other people for years and years and years, and I think that includes me. And I began to search the scriptures about every evidence of God's love, whether it was for David or Joshua or Paul and Peter and everybody else, and just reading the scriptures and memorizing the word, memorizing those verses that really stuck in my heart. And any time I would find myself regressing a little bit, I'd just go back to the word and say, Lord, here's what you said. I'm going to believe what you said, no matter what I feel. And I began to realize that my feelings governed me more than I recognized.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is it that you think our experiences as children have so much power on the emotions that we have as adults today?
Because they begin back there when we have no defenses.
Wow.
Because a child just accepts, accepts, accepts. And if a father says to a child, you'll never amount to anything, you don't count, you're just a problem. And it reminds me of a staff member that I had who was a very, very capable young man. And he came to me one day and he said, Dr. Stanley, I want you to make me assistant pastor. I said, make you assistant pastor? For what reason? He said, I just think I've been here long enough. He'd been there about 2 years, that I ought to be the assistant pastor. I said, well, I don't think so. But I said, I will think about it. I said, let's talk about that for a moment. And so I just began to talk, and I just began to ask him some questions. And finally I said, tell you what I'd like to do is just list some words. And if any of these words bother you, in other words, if you feel something as a result of one of these words, you stop me. He said, all right. I said, authority. He said, stop. Very first word that deep down inside of him, this authority issue was. So he felt like if he could become the assistant pastor, then he would be adequate and associate and so forth. Then I said, well, let's think about that for a moment. And so I said, well, tell me, how did you grow up? And we got to talking about that. And then he said, one day my mother and my dad were having a fight. and I was in the next room. And he said, I heard my mother say, well, you know, we didn't want Joe anyway.
Oh.
And all these years he lived with that.
Yeah. Wow.
That his mother, the most precious person in his life, said he wasn't wanted. And he'd battle that and battle that and battle that. And they show you the power of emotion. He finally left the church, went to be pastor of another church. His baby drowned in the swimming pool. His wife left him, and he finally committed suicide. One statement from his mother destroyed that boy's future. He could preach. He was very smart, very intelligent about a lot of things. But one of those offhanded emotional feelings that she had, if she could have known what that was going to do to her son, and of course she didn't know he was listening. So that's why I'd say to parents, you have to be very careful what you say. Because it's rooted in the beginning of their life. And so it's like it spreads all over your whole thinking and your whole being. And before long, that's the dominating thought in your life.
Oh, absolutely. In studio with Dr. Charles Stanley today. And in closing, Dr. Stanley, your book is called Emotions Confront the Lies, Conquer the Truth. And your latest book, Stores Everywhere and such. But what about that person, Dr. Stanley, that feels like they got it all together emotionally? They have a good sense of emotions. How could this book benefit them?
Well, first of all, I think one way is they can find some sense of identity of reading and seeing what's going on in somebody else's life. They can think, well, how am I doing? In other words, everybody's going to find something in their life that they can improve on. And so also one of the best things about it, it equips us how to deal with other people. And we get together about different things, and eventually this little something will come out here and there, and you realize that they're dealing with something. They don't have the courage to say it, but then when you know how to deal with that, you can help them without them being embarrassed and saying, you know, here's what's going on in my life, because men probably are more prideful about that than women are.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Laughing along with Dr. Charles Stanley today as we have heard an interview I did with Dr. Stanley 2 years ago, and we played it today in honor of his 83rd birthday happening later on this month. Friend, I do thank you so much for your time and your attention today. Until next time, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.